Sister sings and different ones here in church sing, you know, those songs are going through my head and they're the ones I hear, you know, and so I think that's kind of neat, a little something the Lord does there to just hold us that much tighter together. And so it's nice. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. I'm going to open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. First Samuel 13 would be verse 1 through 14. This is speaking about salt. She has it up here. It says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and there were 1,000 with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba. And the Philistines heard it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is upon the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time Samuel had appointed. So Samuel the prophet, the Lord had told him there's a certain amount of time set there. So he tarried the 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering for me and peace offerings. And he offered a burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines were gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept the word of the Lord, word which the Lord commanded thee. And then I want to read from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, I believe is where we want to go there. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk, and they shall not faint. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service, as always, Lord, we just give it to you, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are here to watch over your word, to send it forth, that it might be a help for your people. Lord, we do not stand here in ourselves. We trust in you and believe that we are your people, and that even here in this late in time and a condition in the world of Laodicea the way it is, but Lord, you still have a people that is a trophy of your grace, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have done in our lives to bring us to you and to pull us from the strongholds of this world. Lord, we truly need, honor needs to go to you for these things that you've done. And so we surrender ourselves to you tonight and ask God that you come speak to us, live through us, Lord. Bless every heart now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Tonight, I just want to call this They That Wait Upon the Lord. Amen. Amen. Try not to keep you real long. Amen. they that wait upon the Lord. Kind of an interesting little thought there, but you know, when it says they that wait upon the Lord, you know, the Lord commands us to wait on Him. And so that means that the things that come from the Lord, the things He wants to do in our life, the promises that He's made, you know, they don't come instantly, right? They do not come instantly. God wants us to hear His word, believe His word, and believe it to the extent that we're willing to wait however long. No set amount of time, but however long. Because we should know that everything God does, He does right. And He is faithful. And so if He chooses to make us wait for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 25 years, whatever it is, if He chooses to do that before He brings His promises to pass, He knows what He's doing, right?
Right.
Now, we don't necessarily like that ourselves, but we have to just, you know, as the scripture said, be still and know that He's God. We have to come to the place in our experience where we know that God has a hold of us, and right, that nothing can come our pathway, across our path, than what He allows it. And so He says to wait on Him. And look at, you know, the contrast of this age where we live now, where everything is instant, mm-hmm, right? You know, I think often about the people, our ancestors that lived, you know, 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago, and how they lived. They didn't have time for a bunch of nonsense. They had to work to survive, and things weren't instant for them. And you've probably heard me say this before, you know, but anything that comes quickly can go quickly.
Right.
Anything that you know, things that last take a while to establish. You know, young people, like, they see your mom and dad, and if your mom and dad have worked for years and years, 20, 30, 40 years to be established, to have a home that's paid for and that sort of thing, and young people want that immediately. And they don't realize that it took 40 years to get that.
Right.
And so, but we live in an age where everything's so instant. Microwaves, instant potatoes, and instant this, instant that. And I was saying something yesterday, today, to somebody at work. I said, you know, just always remember, and I've told you this, always remember, when you take a bite off of that tree of knowledge of good, there's evil with it too. Mm-hmm. And so, we might have instant potatoes, but I guarantee you they're not as good for you as the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's probably something in there that's not so good. And so we have microwaves, and we just want instant gratification. That's just, that is, as one of, you know, one of the things of Laodicea is easy, soft living. Things where you can relax, you don't have to work real hard as they used to. And so we kind of think, oh, that's nice. You don't have to work by the sweat of your brow. But you know what? The fall said that that's what you must do. And so, you know, it's God's way is that things don't come real quick sometimes. Sometimes you have to wait quite a while, and God is the one that determines that.
Right.
And so this age that we're in, and we're raised in it, whatever, it wars against this very concept, because we want God to answer right now. Right, we want Him to answer right quick, right now, and that's just not the way it is. God wants us to wait. He, God is not in a hurry. Right, God is God of eternity, and He knows exactly what it takes to do whatever it is He wants to do in your life. And if it takes your whole lifetime to get there, that it's not a problem for Him. Right, so we know that. So He wants us to wait on Him, mm-hmm. And so. But I want to just talk just a little bit about this scripture here. Look at what happens to those who do wait on Him. And it said very clearly, so we're just going to kind of just mention these, a few of them here and there. But so it says, the scripture says that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, in order for your strength to be renewed, that means it must have been dwindled out or gone out, right? And we realize that as we walk this life, we have battles. We have times where we are weak and tired and all the different things like that. But the scripture says there that if we will wait on the Lord, then our strength will be renewed.
Right.
So you might have these trials that comes, it looks like it's going to just take you down. But this promise is that if you'll wait on the Lord, he's promised that your strength will be renewed. No matter what comes your way, what trial it is, if you can just wait on the Lord, hold to his promises, you're going to come out strong because your strength will be renewed. Amen. And so he didn't say that you wouldn't have times where weakness would come and trials wouldn't come. He didn't say that. But he promised that if you wait for him, he would renew your strength. Amen. And so we have that promise. And it goes on to say that that they that wait on the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. So there's so much that could be said about that. We understand that throughout the ages that God had of the New Testament, the anointing of God in his church followed those four creatures, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And we know how that the eagle is the only one that gets off the ground. And he's the only one that feeds his young meat, right? And so so the scripture said that if you'll wait on the Lord, you'll rise up with wings as an eagle. Now, why didn't he say you'd rise up with hoofs like a horse or roar like a lion or something like that? He didn't say that. He said if you'll wait on him, then you will mount up with wings as eagles. And so eagles can soar away. They can fly higher. They can get away from the earthly dangers. And so he's promised that if we can wait on him, we'll just wait on him, he'll renew our strength and he'll cause us to mount up with wings. We'll be able to soar away from whatever the dangers are, whatever's holding us down. We know the eagles, they can build their nest really high where, you know, other creatures cannot get to their young and those sorts of things. We know about how they go through a molting and all the things, and their youth is renewed, and so forth. And so all those promises there for the eagle, because God likens himself to an eagle, and he likens his prophets to eagles, and an end time message is an eagle message, right? That would give us this prophetic presence of the Lord among us. And so he says that we would mount up with wings as an eagle. So there must be something that we need to soar away from, right? And so he goes on to say that they would run and not be weary. So there must be some reason for running. And you know, normally when you run, you get tired. But he said, if you wait on the Lord, you won't get tired. You won't be weary of running. And if you're not running, if you're walking, you will not faint. You could be walking out in the heat of the day of 105 degrees, and you're going to faint after a while, right? Mm-hmm. So here's all these conditions around. You realize there's conditions that call for running, call for walking, you know. And so the thing I want to point out there is these are promises to those who wait on the Lord in contrast to what happens to those who do not wait on the Lord. If you do not wait on the Lord, you do not have the promise of having your strength being renewed. You don't have the promise of mounting up with wings of an eagle. You don't have the promise that in hard times when you have to run, that you won't become weary. You do not have that promise. And you don't have the promise of not fainting when you have to walk. Right. Not at all. So if you look at the contrast, there's in this world and this life's walk, there are many things that we need to soar away from. There's many things that come our way that you know, for running and not be weary. And so he has promised that in through all those things that he will do these things. So if we wait on him. And so why wait? Why does he make us wait? Well, because he's faithful. He is faithful to keep his promise. And the whole thing is the entire everything was created by the Word of God. Right. And you know, you might think, well, you know, as Brother Bram talked about it, God would speak. God had to believe his own word. And he would speak and say, let there be light. And Brother Bram said, it might be millions of years. And light hadn't come yet. But the whole thing to remember here is that if it is God's word, it will happen. Right. And time is not a restriction. So God lets us know that time isn't a restriction because he makes us wait, and then he fulfills his promise anyway.
so that you know that time has nothing to do with it. You may say, I've waited 75 years, but God brings it to pass, and then you realize, you know what, even my old age and my stooped shoulders has nothing to do with it. If God speaks it, he's going to bring it to pass. And our weaknesses and all these things, God just says, that doesn't enter into the picture at all. Because I'm going to make sure that your strength is renewed. I'm going to be there and make sure that you can soar away from anything that would try to harm you. Because I'm going to keep my promise to you if you'll just wait on me. Yeah. If you'll just learn to wait on him and say, you know what, I don't care how long it takes. God promised it, he's going to do it. You know, scriptures tell us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is a substance.
Right.
A substance, you can, you know, I think about it, if it's a substance, you can touch it, right? And it's the substance of things that you hope for, right? For lost loved ones or whatever. And if you have the faith, that substance faith, then the thing's coming that you have faith in. It's the evidence of things not seen. If you have that faith in whatever it is that's on your heart that you're having faith in, God's promise, then that faith is the evidence of the thing even though you don't see it.
Right?
Right? So God doesn't ask us to believe when we see. He's asking us to believe no matter how long it takes, whether you see anything, whether you feel anything, whatever, you believe it because the Word of God spoke these things and created them, and it might have been millions of years, but it come to pass just like he said it would be.
Right.
And so that's why he's faithful with his Word to bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So now look at the life of Abraham. Abraham waited, what, 25 years for a promised son, him and Sarah?
Right.
And say Abraham, you know, 25 years is quite a while.
Yeah.
That's a long time to wait for something. But he believed God and got stronger in faith every day, just like I heard the prophet say a day or two ago. He said, well, if it don't happen today, then tomorrow, praise God, it'll be even a greater miracle tomorrow, because he was getting older, or, you know, and so forth. And so we want to remember that. And so he waited 25 years, and he was tested all along the way. Pharaoh trying to take his wife, and Abimelech trying to take his wife, and all the different things that he had to deal with there. And in every one of those situations, he was believing and waiting on the Lord, and God caused him to soar away from every one of those situations, gave him, you know, he rebuked Pharaoh, rebuked Abimelech, all the things that was trying to come against that promised seed, that promised word. Look at all the things that was happening there that could have destroyed that tried to get in the way, and God still brought that word to pass.
Mm-hmm.
He rebuked Pharaoh so Pharaoh couldn't touch him, because that would have polluted his wife.
Right.
God wouldn't let that happen. That was an attack trying to destroy that promised seed that was coming, and God wouldn't let it happen. Same thing with Abimelech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Abraham going off to fight with all these armies there to save his brother. Looked like he'd been slaughtered. He wasn't slaughtered because God was with him.
Right.
So in every case, because Abraham believed God and was waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, God delivered him from all those things. And after 25 years, God brought to pass that promise that he had given.
Right.
With all those obstacles and all that time and all those things making it look like it wasn't going to come to pass. But he still believed God. And you know, probably, he was ridiculed because Abraham, his father, right?
Mm-hmm.
A father of nations or whatever. Like, what? You don't even have kids. How are you going to do that? You're 75, 85, 95 years old. So you know how people don't change much. You know what I'm saying? They're still the same today. So you see what happens whenever you wait on the Lord. So now, we read in scriptures here about someone who didn't wait on the Lord. When Samuel had been told, wait a certain amount of time, God had told him through the prophet, do this, wait a certain amount of time. But when Samuel was faced with hard circumstances, with the armies that looked like they were going to come and get him, and all the people were scared, and everything, you know, looked like it was falling apart, instead of him waiting on the Lord like God had told him, he took matters into his own hands. Tried to do a sacrifice. He turned religious.
Right.
Right? And this is what happened. Man is religious. Brother Brent said that, you know, we all have something in us that wants to worship God,
right,
depending on what you, you know, what God you believe it is or whatever. But, you know, so we do. We have a tendency to want to fend for ourselves. Brother Brent said we're not supposed to fend for ourselves. God provided for us, and that's what we're supposed to have.
Right.
And so Saul, when he got in trouble and he got in hard times, instead of waiting on the Lord, he took matters into his own hands and began to do sacrifice unto the Lord, and the Lord was displeased with him.
Right.
And right there, we read it. The kingdom, if he would have obeyed God, right there, we read it. If he would have obeyed and waited on God until the prophet came, his kingdom would have been established forever. We read it. But because he didn't wait on the Lord, his kingdom was taken away and given to David. We just read it. Because he wouldn't wait on the Lord. He just said, well, I was afraid. I seen this and I seen that. And you see, we read it. And so, you know what? Abraham went through rough times. Abraham, no doubt, went through times. You know, when he went out to fight all those kings, you know, he had to go out there believing in the promise that God said, I'll be the father of nations. And these men, they can't kill me because I'm going to be father of nations. Right? He said, I'm going to have a son. And so, but what it, you know, why didn't Saul say, you know what? The prophet anointed me to be king of Israel. I have nothing to fear about. God's behind me. He's the one brought me, put me in anointed, right? Why didn't he didn't do that? So you see, there's two different things there. And so Samuel, or Saul, when he got into distress, he leaned on his own understanding. He basically formed his own little religious worship there, trying to please God, and so we realized that is a type of denominations. What he did there, this is what denominations do. You know, get their own program instead of waiting on God.
Right.
Satan's always got something that he wants to throw out there to throw the people off, get them to believe something instead of waiting on the Lord. I want to read in Acts chapter 5 and show you just a little passage here. When Peter was, when they had beaten they were warning those apostles, don't you preach in the name of Jesus and so forth. So Peter and the other apostles, they answered and said, well, we ought to obey God more than men. I mean, remembers that part in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. For, and he's speaking about things that had happened, you know, and he said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew hanging on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God give to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. They didn't like what the apostle was saying, so they go kill them. And then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people, and he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days, now I'm talking about how Satan always sends something out there to get people tricked up. And here's an example. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be someone, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overflow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And so, Brother Ram talks about this, you know, there's always something to come along. And so there's promises, there was a promise of a Messiah, but Satan would raise up these people, he would think that they were somebody, and try to take all these people with him, and of course it was, they weren't the Messiah, and it didn't work, it fell apart. But Satan's always got things that he wants to present to people instead of getting them to wait on the promise of God.
Yeah.
Brother Ram said that we're not to put our own interpretation on the word of God. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Like, so when he said a virgin shall conceive, that doesn't need any interpretation because God brought it to pass and interpreted itself. And so when God promised these things and throughout the ages, he promised, then Satan would rise up and get into people and cause people to believe something ahead of time and have a following and get them to buckle down into something and that it would be wrong. And so this is what Saul did. Saul, you know, he started and didn't obey God and began to worship the Lord in his own fashion instead of waiting on the Lord, and the thing displeased God. And so this is what denominations do. They have the word of God laying there, and they get sidetracked, and they wind out building a system of religion that is displeasing to the Lord. And so they don't wait on the Lord for him to vindicate his own word. They don't wait on the Lord to bring the past. He said in his word that there would be an end time ministry to come and be Elijah. You know, where there were men that raised up and claimed that they were Elijah, and you see what happened to them.
Yeah.
And so, but that's what they do. They don't wait on the Lord, and they wind up forming their own system and their own movement. And this is what the Pharisees and Sadducees had done. They had the word of God, but they had to add to it. So they had oral traditions and had all these customs of the washing of pots and pans and all those things that God had not commanded them, but they added all that to that because it made them look more holy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So man, just for something about him, he just can't take just the word of God. He's got to add to it or take away it or something like that. It has to do that. And when he does that, he creates a system of man and invest all this time and effort into that.
Yeah.
And so when they do that, then when the real thing comes along, they can't accept it. Right?
Yeah.
They believed, as Brother Branham told so many times, they believed that, well, if the Messiah was going to come, he'd come right down out of the portals of heaven on a stairway, and he would come right down to the Pharisee, to the high priest, and would come and say, "Hi, I'm here," and would basically endorse the Pharisees, endorse that movement.
Right.
And because God didn't do that, because he didn't come in through their system, they had to reject him. And if they would have just stayed humble and not added to and not come up with some system of their own, then they could have accepted the Messiah when he came.
Mm-hmm.
But they had already invested time and traditions and years of all these things, and this is who we are, and how dare someone to come along and question us. We've got all these people out here to believe our system, and we're all a big thing, and we just can't accept somebody that's going to come along and be something different. And so you see the problem with not waiting on the Lord. You get ahead of God, you do things that you get off on the wrong track, and then it makes it hard for you to accept the true thing when it does come. And so, that's what happens. No matter how much vindication Jesus had, they wouldn't accept it. And he had plenty of vindication. Even their own witnesses. You know, "Master, we know that you're sent from God, because a man can't do these things unless God's with him." Right? And yet they couldn't accept it.
Right.
They said, "We've got to do something, because if we don't, the Romans are going to come and take away our whole everything. The whole world's going after this man." See? So it didn't matter how much vindication, did it? And God, and Christ was fulfilling so much word right there, you know, just in a few hours and everything, his whole life. And yet they couldn't accept it because it was not part of their system.
Yeah.
And so what did they not do? They didn't wait on the Lord. And so it's the same today. Denominations have done the same. That's what denominations are. They come up with a system of man. And I agree with Brother Branham. I've looked at it. He said every one of them gets off the word somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, they do. And so they can't wait on God to bring to pass the revival they created their own.
Mm-hmm.
They can't wait for God to fulfill his word. And God had a promise that he would bring a ministry in this end time that would do the things that the scripture promised it would do. And they got ahead of God. And they formed their systems and all their denominations and all their societies and those sorts of things. And when they had done that, then here come a mighty ministry that even their words say, hey, you know, this is even, like I said, their encyclopedias and their books and all say that it all started with Brother Branham. But yet they couldn't accept it.
Yeah.
Because they had already invested all this into their system. They didn't wait on the Lord. And so, here, it happens the same today, but what I want to end with was saying this, you know, is let's just think just for a moment about inside the message. So we have the same responsibility as message believers to do the same thing, to wait on the Lord.
Right.
And to not get ahead of God, not interpret things ourselves, not to put it all together ourselves. And so we've been given promises of what's to come to pass in the bride movement. We've been given those promises and, you know, seven thunders and all these things that would bring these revelations and so forth. And with that prophet warning us, don't add to it, don't take away from it, don't put your own interpretation on it, just live simple, humble, Christian lives, live as close as you can to the Lord, and let God bring the rest of it to pass. With him saying all that, and yet we had many people put their own interpretations to it and have all kinds of isms and stuff like that. And so it always, when you don't wait on the Lord, it always works against your favor. So, but for us here at the end time, with this end time message, let me go back and tell you what happens to those who do wait. For those of us who do wait on the Lord to bring to pass what he's told us, we mount up with wings as eagles. That's that end time message, the two wings of an eagle. Mm-hmm. That you know, that ministry has to take effect in us. We have to become recipients of that eagle message.
Right.
It has to do in us what make us eagles, right? Make us be able to rise up from this world, even in a rapture, right? Even in a body change, but rise up from the things of this earth that holds people down. And so, if we can just wait on the Lord under this message and just keep believing and keep waiting and keep trusting, and let him bring to pass, the end result of that is this message will turn us into these supernatural eagles. We will have a body change,
yeah,
right, if we'll wait on the Lord. But we can't get ahead. And, you know, I'll tell you, when we look out and we see all the things that Brother Branham told us was coming, you know, the debt situation with America, and Russia going to, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do, and all the racial divisions, and sending money over, and they send it back in form of military things back at us, and all the different things that he said, and we see all of that playing out. And so, you know, if you didn't believe, if you didn't trust the Lord, you could get kind of nervous about this, because, you know, we're looking out there and we're seeing our own nation doing things to provoke where I'm surprised that we haven't already been blown to pieces.
Right.
You know, and if you don't tune into those things, you don't know what I'm talking about, but we are really, this nation, the leadership of this nation has done terrible things, and I'm surprised that Russia hasn't already done what the scriptures, you know, the prophecy says they're going to do.
Right.
But when you look at all that, you can get concerned and say, where does that leave us? Well, where that leaves us as believers believing this message is, we're that much closer to leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep believing, keep having faith. And so, I want to end by reading this one scripture here, Psalms 123, verse 2. So, behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, everybody understand that, servants will look to their masters for provisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until what? Until that he have mercy upon us.
Amen.
And that's what we need, right?
Amen.
Just look to him. Keep watching him. Keep watching that word. Keep waiting on him until he comes and does what he said he's going to do. Confirms that promise that he has given for us, a body change. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord, we want to thank you for this little time together with your people. These few words that I share with them tonight, Lord, just on waiting upon you. I pray, Lord, that this would be something we just learn ever so clearly and just master in our own lives, just to be able to wait upon you. We know that the scripture says tribulation worketh patience. And Lord, that's, as your prophet said, and we've heard many times elsewhere, that patience is a virtue. It's one of the virtues there that we read about in the stature of a perfect man. Patience. So we ask, Lord, that you just help us learn this and discipline this in our own lives, that we might grow up that stature of a perfect man and have patience to believe and wait on you, and in confidence and in quietness, that we would possess our souls. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for these things, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That means looking forward to a good missions report.
Amen.
I know. So Brother Daniel and Sister Vicky hear this, they'll know that they're under the gun. I love him because